Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So we're not going to do any niceties or any sort of hellos, blah, blah, blah. No soft entry. Is it hard entry? I'm telling you, this industry is definitely a hard entry. How was that entry for you, Alison? Did you get in hard?
I got in hard. I got a hard entry. Hard.
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
I cut my hedge. That's a euphemism.
Okay, right. I think we know how this will end, don't we?
No, I did cut through the wires. I had to buy a cordless. I've bought a cordless one now.
Yes, but
very
Maureen,
expensive one.
Maureen, let's go back to what happened before. So you've been cutting your hedge.
I didn't cut much of the hedge. I cut a little bit of the hedge and then I cut through the wire.
Right.
It'd already been cut through by a mate. My dad had fixed it and then I had it.
Right.
So I was just like, you know what? I think cordless is the way to go. And it was expensive, but I didn't cut any wires in the process of cutting my hedge.
Thank God it's not the 1970s where you'd have literally electrocuted yourself.
Also, I cleared out my shed. I didn't clear it out. I tidied it up.
I saw you having pictures about that on social media. Well done. That shed looked like mine before I got in there. So that's, what have you found in there?
I found my lawnmower and it was so funny because it's in three pieces.
Oh my God.
But I thought I'd forgotten and I was like, there was two pieces. So I'm trying to fix this piece. So I'm going, that's a bit weird. It doesn't fit.
Wait.
I'm trying it out, and then I realised the bit where which cuts, collects the grass was missing, so I go looking for that as well.
Okay, so can I'll admit I don't know that much about lawnmowers, but I want to know why is it in three bits?
No, because it comes in three separate bits, and I'd basically bunged it in.
Right.
And then I got two bits out, forgot there was a third bit, and I was trying to fix this thing, and it wouldn't fix. I'm like, this is a bit weird. And then I realised you needed the little container which keeps the grass.
Right, to keep the actual grass inside the bits when you mow the lawn.
But, I mean, if Chloe was there, she would have emptied out the shed a lot more. But and Susan Murray came round to have a look, and she went, get rid of that, you can get rid of that, you can get rid of that. I said, if you carry on like that, I'm going to put you in the shed and lock you in there. So she came out the shed.
Right.
I mean, I still got things like floppy disks in there.
Well, then she's right. Get rid of it all, Maureen. What are you even?
I don't understand why you want to have this conversation with us. I don't know if you want to have this conversation with us so we can go, yes, Maureen, keep floppy disks. And
young people, Google it because they won't know what that is.
I mean, they do. They know what dinosaurs are. They'll know what a floppy disk is, love. I mean, we're keeping track of these things.
I don't know, though. Yeah, you'd be surprised. I think there's a lot of people on the planet, if you showed them a floppy disk, they'd be like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, got cassette tapes in there, videos.
Do you have a tape? Do you have a cassette player?
Yes,
it's in the shed.
No, it's in my kitchen, and I've got a video player as well at home.
Okay, but you know none of those cassettes will work.
Why?
Because they deteriorate, and especially deteriorate if you keep them in a damp environment for the last 15 years. My cassettes, a lot of them have deteriorated, and I've kept them in a dry place, which is called my house. I would be very surprised if any of those tapes actually worked, Maureen.
Okay.
But do hang on to them with the floppy disks for a computer that no longer accepts floppy. You know, there is not a computer made.
Oh, no, but I've got one of those in my shed as well.
I was going to make that joke, but I thought, no, I don't want to do it again.
I want you to be clear. Okay. I hope this isn't information for anyone else that's listening to the podcast. I hope that you understand and you know that you cannot keep computers in a shed and expect them to work. And also, if you are keeping a computer in a shed, why?
Yeah, well, you never know.
No, you never know.
No
never
answer.
Know
what no one. Answer. Just you never,
never
know.
Know when you might need a computer that doesn't work.
From the 1990s.
A load of floppy disks that are now blank because they've deteriorated and have corrupted. When will you need them? Absolutely never. I tell you what will happen is when you pop your clogs, Maureen, I'll have to clear that fucking shed out. Okay? Okay. It'd be me and Alison and Susan Murray.
Susan Murray,
shed.
I was going to be like, we're getting.
Oh, Chloe would have a great time.
Chloe won't be there, love. It'll be me. Do you think Chloe's like, oh, I can't wait to clear out Maureen's
can't
shed?
Can't wait for Maureen to die so I can clear out a shed.
Is this something that we want? Look, I hope you're not going to die anytime soon. But whoever's left that cares about you, the only people that will ever see those floppy disks, it'll be them, my love. They'll never see the light of day. You could get rid of them. And do you know what? You could make space in that shed for something else that you use all the time. But it's just a thought, isn't it, Alison? We don't want to...
No.
Anyway, moving on. How were your weeks?
Good, good. All right. I'll tell you what's going on this week. We are fighting a battle against somebody who keeps stealing our gray bin. It's an ongoing
what?
Battle. Yeah, someone keeps stealing. Okay, so we have two gray bins. They're very interesting. This is how you know I'm a middle-aged woman. I'm talking about bins. We have two gray bins, the main household garbages. And someone, every time the collection comes, keeps stealing our bins. So the one gray bin. So Danny went on a hunt 2 weeks ago, found the bin, went right into someone's garden, took it back, right? So we put it in front of our house. This time, they took it, and they didn't cross off, because we have clearly spray-painted our house number. No, no, no. What they've done is they've written on top of the bin their house number.
What? That is insane!
They're like, it's our bin now, because we've got this on top of here. So Danny's like, uh-uh, this is not happening. And so we have now air-tagged both our gray bins, everyone. So when the bins go missing again, we're just going to go right up to people and be like, ding dong, our bin is in your backyard. We want it back right now.
What is an air tag? What do you mean?
Do you know what it's called? An iPhone.
Yeah, an air tag is like something. So if you lose things, so you get a little tag and you can stick it, you attach it to whatever. So then when you lose things, you can look on your phone and go, where the hell is that thing? People put air tags on their keys. People put air tags on suitcases for a while. When everyone was losing their suitcases, people started putting an air tag in their suitcase to be like, it's still at Schiphol Airport or whatever. But yeah, so an air tag, it's funny because the air tag costs more than the bin. And I did point this out to Danny. I was like, I could very well just buy a new bin.
Not if you have to keep buying a bin.
Yeah, but Daddy wants the battle. He wants the battle. So, yeah, we've air-tagged our bins now.
I mean, how much is a bin?
Why are they going for your bin? Why don't they just go for someone else's if you keep taking it
back? I think because we're close and we've got two, right? So they're probably like, what do they need two for? But I paid for myself.
Of course you've got two bins, Alison. Absolutely.
Well, because a couple of years ago, the neighbors beside me didn't understand the bin system and I could not educate them enough. So I just thought, you know what? They kept putting stuff in our bin and I was like, I'm just going to buy a second bin. Like, I'm not going to try. And then for a while, I locked the bins. I bought bin locks. Yeah, there's such a thing. I locked the bins. Yeah, I know. It's been a real bin journey where we're at. So we're on. We're in a real bin warfare right now.
Wow. I thought it was bad when someone took a shit in our front garden, but I think that's worse. That's worse, I think.
How did you know someone? It could have been a real big dog, or was it definitely?
I've talked about this, surely.
Yeah,
I've talked about it.
For anyone who's listened, let's hear it again. How did you know it was a human?
She saw me do it. No, I'm joking.
Just steps outside and Maureen was like, I thought this was the toilet. There was a wall in the way. There is a wall in the way. It's called the garage. No, we came out and there was one of the kids was found a poo behind the bin, and we were like, oh. I came out and I was with a mate, and he said, that is not a dog shit, that's a human shit. And I looked at her and I went, yeah, I've never seen a dog do a shit like that. It was very tall as well. I can't imagine how.
Oh, so the poo would...
I mean, there was height to it, Alison. That's what I would say to it. That's how we knew it was a human shit.
It came from above, not that.
It wasn't like... I mean, they all come from above, yeah. Don't they? But if it had come from a dog, it would have hit his ass. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It definitely was squatting.
Someone squatted and...
Unless the dog was on stilts or something, which is possible, you know. I mean, we are in Brighton. I mean, there's people fire breathing and...
It's either Brighton or Bristol. You're going to find dogs on stilts. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, dogs on stilts, yeah.
Dogs on stilts.
Anyway, I told Chloe about it. I said, oh, man, you're not going to believe this. Someone's taking a shit in our front garden. She went, oh, my God, that's disgusting. She went, how do you know it's a human shit? Anyway, she came downstairs and she was like, it went into the front garden. That is a human poo. And I went, I know. I know it's a human poo. I can see that. She was like, ugh, God. I mean, all right, who have you upset? And I was like, what? I haven't upset anyone. She said, she would obviously upset someone because otherwise, why is there a human poo in our front garden? I said, Chloe, I honestly haven't spoken to anyone. I've been nothing but, like, if anything, charismatic and upbeat and generally...
As always.
A joie de vivre that surrounds me. And she said, well, somebody doesn't like your stand-up comedy. And I thought, that's a low blow. That's a low blow that someone hates my stand-up comedy that much, Alison, that they would get up in the middle of the night.
That is a low blow, Chloe. Maybe someone didn't like your planning the company business thing that you do. Yeah, I don't know.
I tried, Alison. But I did think it was a bit weird. Can you imagine? I mean, there's some planning involved in that, to get up in the middle of the night, go for a shit in my front garden, all the while just mumbling about how much you hate me. It's like... that's not even funny, stand-up. She's just ranting. Call it stand-up comedy, belligerent.
I'll show you stand-up something.
Yeah.
And then,
I don't know if they wiped, because there was no signage of that, so.
Well, they did not, Jen. They're on the move. Otherwise, they took it with them.
Otherwise, they took the tissue with them. Which is quite polite, actually, in a way.
It is polite to not leave that garbage. I mean, to just leave the stuff that the biodegrade. Again, that's very Brighton. I'll leave this because it's biodegradable. I will take the paper product with me and put it in the proper recycling facility. That's very Brighton. Yeah. I appreciate that.
I wouldn't have appreciated that bit of recycling. But anyway, look, I actually feel like somebody's stealing your bin, Alison, is worse.
Thanks.
Because it's a repeated offence, isn't it, Maureen?
Yeah,
we're going to get him. I'm sorry, I'm fascinated with the idea of dog versus poo, human poo. I kind of want there to be an Insta that's like,
oh, no.
Human or dog, and then there's pictures, and then you have to pick, is it human?
I think sometimes you might not know.
This is true.
I think sometimes you might not know, but in this instance, I said to Maureen, because Maureen was like, how can you tell? I was like, I just knew. You just instinctively know when it's a human poo. But... anyway, let's not keep talking about it. I know this is quite triggering for a lot of people to this subject, and they don't like it. So we've ought to change the subject.
Sorry, everyone.
But suffice to say, we've all had a week. I what have I done? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. More of the same. My tour is finished. So for the summer, and that's great. So now I have to look forward to a very busy July, which is fine. You know, I'm open to it. And then I'm just working my way towards August, where I have August off.
Yay!
That's great.
Cannot wait. I've got. Apart from when Maureen and I have got some gigs in Budapest. But other than that, I'm looking forward to just a little bit of downtime, a little bit of staying in one place. Can you imagine? I am actually in a month's time going to be staying in my home. I've counted it for 11 days in a row. Oh. I'm so excited, guys. So excited. But anyway, listen, we've all had weeks. Maureen has done some very good DIY. Is it DIY? It's not DIY. What have you done? You've done some clearing out, which is very good.
Housekeeping.
Maureen's done, that's not a euphemism.
I know, that's all I can think. It's not a euphemism.
In this instance,
or
it's
is
not
it?
A euphemism. In fact, it's never a euphemism. Maureen likes to keep
my bush
heavy.
But yeah, I've cleaned my bush.
Well, no.
I'm old school. keeping it real.
You can sort of give it a little. Just you don't have to take it off. You just sort of give it a little bit tidy.
Just tidy.
What's going down there? What does it matter? Does it?
No. All right, Maureen. That's fair enough. It's probably a little bit too much information in a lot of ways. But I did, to be fair, ask you. But anyway, congratulations, Maureen. Not on
trimming your bush.
On trimming your bush, but attempting to trim it. Unfortunately, you will need to get a cordless trimmer.
No, I did. I got a cordless and I trimmed it.
God, well, Maureen, you are on fire at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are, I mean, apart from floppy disks aside, you're going for it, and I appreciate that.
I even cleaned the kitchen floor.
I mean, wow.
I mean, me cleaning it, but, you know, for my standards.
Okay, good, great. So better than before. Alison, I'm so sorry to hear about your bin situation. And I, well, there's nothing left to say. In fact, there's nothing left to say in this particular section because it's time to turn to Maureen Younger because she has a moment and it has been Be More Maureen, and we need to find out what her Be More Maureen moment is.
I messaged Jen. I have just put olive oil in my eyes. Why is it so blurred?
I mean, you can't make this shit up, can you?
It was fine in the end, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No,
you wouldn't recommend it, Maureen. Oh my God, it's a good one, isn't it?
Well, guys, it's basically this dress. This is my Be More Maureen moment.
Okay.
I was wearing it. One of my favourite dresses I've been taking. It's new. It cost me a whole £2.50 from a charity store in Ipswich. I thought I'd splash out. Anyway, I was wearing this dress. I was about to go on stage in Wendover. And I was like, I just looked down the front for some reason. I went, oh, why's the label in the front? That's a bit weird, isn't it? And then I thought, unlike me, I actually thought it through and went, oh, it's on back to front. So I've been wearing this dress back to front, right? And I should have noticed because the zip is the wrong side. And when I tried it on, I thought, oh, that's weird that the zip's on the wrong side, but never thought it through that it's because it's the wrong way round. I just thought they'd just put the zip on the wrong side. So I've been wearing this dress back to front and then I wore it the right way round once I realised and actually I prefer it back to front.
I was going to say, I bet you because it's got a bow on the back, it's a bit of a swoop. It's probably just a straight across on the front, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of like a boat thing. So I'm going to go on Instagram and we can decide which way to look, which way to go. But I just thought that just sums me up that, you know, like the zip's on the wrong side. I don't think it through. I just go, oh, well, zip's on the wrong side and just carry on.
Maureen, it does look good back to front because I know you're wearing it back to front now. It actually does. Yeah. It suits you. We'll definitely do on. We'll put it on the WTB Instagram. We'll do a right way round back to front, and you can decide. Please vote now. Call us on 555. No, there's no such number. Don't call us.
But do you know what I mean? I just thought that is so typical. You know, just when I go on stage, and I'm like, oh, my dress is the wrong way round.
But Maureen, you did big this up.
I thought that was
I'm sorry, Maureen. This is, if anything, that's a Be More Maureen moment that you
think. We've been waiting all week.
That you think that is an exclusive because you've done, I mean, as Be More Maureen moments go, that is lo-fi.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, it was quite
Maureen, for heaven's sake, know yourself, woman. I mean, look. I appreciate this Be More Maureen moment, and it is a Be More Maureen moment, but is it up there? No. It's not even in the top 10.
No. Okay.
That's a shame.
I thought it was, because I was about to walk on stage, I thought, it is typical me, though, isn't it?
It is typical you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. But also, Maureen, if you'd have been wearing it back to front, and then maybe a boob had flopped out or something, then we would have gone...
A little bit more. Didn't notice. Did a show with a tit
there
out.
There was a little tit. A tit had crawled out the side, and you didn't notice. Yeah. That would have been. Then we would have all been like, "Oh my God, that is a Be More Maureen of moments." But you putting your dress back to front is just day to day, just cash Be More Maureen.
And I agree with your decision. This is the problem. I look at the dress.
I know,
I'm like,
it
I would have
better back to front.
And also yes! that's exactly what I was going to say. Logically speaking, I agree with you. I think it does look better back to front. And I think that bow would look weird on the back, wouldn't it? Would it look weird? Because it's massive.
It makes the dress look really plain when you wear it the right way round.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just going to keep it the way it is, basically.
No, I like it the way it is, Maureen. Mm-hmm. But listen up your game, because that wasn't good enough. Anyway.
Well, we're meeting up soon, so I'll see what I can do, Jen.
I actually think there was a Be More Maureen moment on the... on our WhatsApp group, wasn't there, recently? something happened and I said, oh, well, that's a Be More Maureen moment.
Adam.
Okay,
let's start from the beginning. So Maureen's contacting our producer, Alex.
Yeah, who's been with us for a while now.
Alex has been with us since February 2022 and has been our producer. We've seen pretty much every week since then. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maureen wanted to get some information, some technical info that she needed to grab from Alex. And so she decided to contact Alex on our group WhatsApp, which is fine. That's a quite a normal thing to do. So far, so normal. Absolutely no Be More Maureen moments here. And then in her address to Alex, you addressed him how, Maureen?
I went, hi, Adam.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, Adam. Adam. I read that and went, who is Adam? And then I just saw Alex go, Adam? Question mark. And you went, oh, sorry, Alex. Anyway, never mind.
But, I mean, you've got to bear in mind, I don't think I've had a single boyfriend who I haven't called by the wrong name. At some
I mean,
point.
I didn't know you were in a relationship with Alex. Alex, did you know you were in a relationship with Maureen?
No, that's what I'm saying. So like, no, we're not. Alex looks slightly worried now. But no, but what I'm saying is I do call people by the wrong names all the time.
So, I know, but I did enjoy that. I actually think that being more. We've got, although we've had two for one. We've had two for one today. And I feel like that was a good top up.
I found, when I cleared up the shed, I found the plastic flowers that I smelled that my father gave me. I'll bring them next time to the next podcast.
Why?
And then you can see, well, you can see how realistic they looked.
No. No. You can do whatever you want, but if you wave fucking fake plants in front of my face and go, don't they look real? I'm going to be like, no. They look more real than the dead ones in the pots in front of you. Yeah, yeah, but...
Oh, yeah, they've gone.
Okay, all right, Maureen. Well, it wasn't the best, but it certainly wasn't your worst. Maureen Younger, thank you for your bit. Bye-bye, moment. Okay, it's time to get serious. It's time to take things seriously. It's time to get on the serious train. And we're turning to Alison June Smith because it's time to... Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice.
Cause I ain't using it.
No, no. No, no.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
We're having a great time today. I almost feel bad bringing a problem into things. But you know what? We need to help people. We gotta put some solutions out there, some options of things to do. And I like this one. I like this one. I personally can relate, and I think there's a lot of people that are about to relate to this one. Okay, so here we go. Quick reminder, I'm not a therapist. I'm not a specialist in anything other than just voicing my opinion. So here we go. Aging parents. My parents are getting into an age where I see in the future they may need more assistance, but it's more than I can do, and they're resistant to having any help. These thoughts are consuming me, and it's affecting my relationship with them. How do I handle this? Okay, look, we are in a boomer generation. There is about to be so many boomers that hit a senior age. So I think there's a lot of people out there. I also think you are not alone, and there's probably about to be so many more resources available because we, are, as a society, are going to hit the highest peak right now of seniors getting to a point. So you're not alone. Don't worry. I was like, I'm going to go through and find places that you can go, but here's what I'm going to say to you. I think you got to Google and begin the search for looking for like... places that are out there, people you can talk to, groups that can assist you to get to the next phases with your parents, but things that you can do immediately, things that you can do in your communicating with them is what I'm going to focus on because I think that will help you the most right now. So, first off, your worry just comes because you want to be prepared. You want to be ready to help your parents. So just take your worry and just praise yourself because you're doing a good thing. You're helping them out. And, you know, this worry is because you love them. So this is all about love. Seniors often don't want help because they fear the unknown as well. And by admitting they need help, they're admitting that big changes are about to happen in their life. I get it. So I think the first thing you have to do is avoid power struggles. Pick your battles. Okay, just yelling at your parents and telling them what they need to do if something goes wrong. You can't do that, okay? You can't just be yelling. You got to pick your battles. And avoid those power struggles. I think you got to be sensitive and stick to I statements and let them know how things that are happening in their life right now are affecting you. I feel, I am concerned. I am affected by this. So you don't, they don't feel like they're attacked and that everything they're doing is wrong, okay? I also think that timing is everything. Please, if it's a tense moment, if stuff is happening, if there's a this is not the time to start to discuss, right? If the house is a mess, they can't clean it anymore, while they're communicating, let's not like panic and be like, well, you need to get a cleaner. You have to be patient and allow them to understand why it is that some of these things that they are hesitant about are going to affect their lives more negatively. So maybe explaining to them, well, look, in the long run, I just worry that if the house isn't cleaned enough, that you guys might get sick, right? If someone doesn't go in the fridge and clears that out, also, you are maybe of an age, you don't need to worry about that, mom and dad. Why? This shouldn't be a concern of yours. You're in the golden years. You need to enjoy your life. And let's get some people in that can help you to get through these things so you're not wasting your time. Stay calm. Please stay calm. I know it's hard. If you have to walk away, if you have to stop a conversation, do that. But if you're in a fury, if you're panicking, if you're angry, nothing's going to get resolved. Ask them open-ended questions. Why is it you don't want someone to come in and clean? What are you worried about? What are the things that you think might happen? Sometimes by getting them to talk about how they feel, it helps you to find a better solution to that particular problem. So what you're doing then is addressing your parents' concerns rather than piling more worry and stress on them. That is one way to approach it. I think sometimes scheduling maybe a meeting once a month, you go, hey, let's sit down and talk about how life's going. How are you guys doing? How's the house? What are things that maybe need to, if you schedule a time, maybe your parents are like, oh, we're going to the house meeting today. Today we have the house meeting. Today we have the family meeting, rather than it just being like random moments throughout certain days. Don't count on them changing is number one, what I want to say to you. Okay. It's really hard. Think about it. They've lived their whole life doing things the way they want to do it. They are full-grown adults. All of a sudden, having their child coming at them and telling them, you got to do it this way. It's hard. This is a transitional time for everyone. So you got to remember that and be gentle, gentle, gentle. Remember, they're still adults. They're not children. They may act like children. I can say this as a... they will act like children because the older people get, that filter goes. Sometimes an 84-year-old is like talking to a 6-year-old again because they're like, I don't want to do this. I don't like it. And you're like, I got nothing more. Like, okay. So be gentle, take time, frame things in ways that make them understand that this is for the betterment of their life, for their enjoyment of life, rather than them feeling attacked. Also, side note, keep notes. Hey, keep notes for yourself. If things are coming up, keep a little journal just so you can keep track of how things are progressing. I know this isn't like the best solution to all your problems, but everyone's situations with their parents getting older is different. Like I said, there's a lot of resources out there. Every city, country, area is different. So Google, reach out. But I guarantee there will be more and more resources as we move forward. That is about the best advice I can give. And I'm trying to live it myself. So I'm with you. And good luck.
Oh, my God.
Love your parents. Even if they drive you crazy.
Wow. That's so really good advice, Alison. It's really hard with your parents because as they get older, you want to, you know, it gives you anxiety worrying about them. But also they're sort of stuck in their ways. And it's very hard to like get people to change their routines or change the way they do things or try to encourage them to do things differently. But, and you know, I just think people become more of whatever they are. So if... You know, if there's a particular side of their personality that does this thing, then as they get older, it's not going to lessen. It's just going to get more of that, you know? And so it becomes harder to then sort of negotiate these things with your parents to do things like if they've never exercised, for example, and then you go, right, well, you've had a hip replacement. Now I need you to go and walk every day. They're like, I'm not going to do that. It's like, oh, my God, you're going to do it anyway. You know, it's tricky. And also... We regress with our parents. You know, we become who we were when we were children and they trigger things in us in a way that other people wouldn't. So we lose patience quicker. All of those things. But also if you've loved them and you want to take care of them, and then that's where that whole sort of juxtaposition, isn't it? Where you're trying to like look after someone that you adore, but at the same time you actually want to punch them repeatedly in the face. And I think that's normal. I think that's okay.
I do too.
Yeah. It's really good advice, Alison, whoever wrote in. I hope that helps. And just know, if you do lose it or if you do find yourself thinking, I can't do this, look, you're not alone. We've all been there. We'll all be, every daughter or son looking after a parent is going through this. And you just have to find moments of to escape as well, to get away.
Yeah.
And just
yep,
have some absolutely. Solo time, because caring for someone who is deteriorating, and they do, is hard. Alison, thank you so much for your advice. A little bit of reverb on my microphone there. I created that myself with my mouth. Alison, I'm distracted by the fact that Maureen appears to be drinking double cream.
I'm not drinking double.
What are you drinking?
It's a cafe latte.
Oh, thank God. Sorry. Alison, let's be honest. It wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility that Maureen is chugging on some double cream. It is time for us to find out what has been visualising our brains in our ear holes and noses.
Well, I've been watching another Spanish TV series called Mentiras, which is based on a UK series called Lies and Deceits,
nice.
Which is very popular in the UK. And it stars Javier Rey again. Mr. Javier Rey.
Seeing a theme here.
Yeah, yeah. He is easy on the eye. As Xavier Vera. He's a good-looking, charming widower who's a surgeon. He's a great relationship with his teenage son. He looks after his mother. And Laura Muna. And he goes out on a date with his son's teacher, Laura Muna, who's played by Angela Cremonte, I suppose. And they both go on a date together. It seems to go spectacularly well. He seems a bit shy. He's very charming. They're obviously attracted to each other. And then the next morning, she wakes up the worse for wear and starts remembering bits of what happened the night before and becomes convinced he's raped her.
And
And what's intriguing, the series plays all those tropes about rape culture. And so for most of the first four episodes, they present both protagonists' points of view. So you're not sure whether she's remembering correctly or whether he raped her or he didn't rape her. And he's going, no, I know we had sex, I never got that impression. And you don't know for the first four episodes exactly who's telling the truth. And at the end of episode four, you know for sure. And by episode
don't tell
five,
us. Don't tell us.
I'll tell you. Episode five is creepy as hell.
It comes
really. Episode five, you're like, oh my God. It becomes really creepy. And I really enjoyed the TV series. I thought it was.
So there's two Spanish series that you've recommended. What
yes.
was the one from last week again?
The Patience of Dr. García.
The Patience of Dr. García
and
Mentiras, which is lies.
It differs from the English version, because I know the English version was longer and it goes off on a different thing, but it's based on the English version called Lies and Deceits. And I think it's really good casting Javier Rey, because he's kind of like this, you know, he's a widower, he's a surgeon, he's, you know, a charming, nice-looking bloke. And you kind of fall down those tropes and you're like, is she got it the wrong idea? And and it's set in Mallorca. I really enjoyed it. I would totally recommend it.
How many episodes is it?
Six episodes.
Oh, right. So
it's a limited series. So it's six
it's
episodes.
Quick. Okay, great.
I actually think I watched the English version of that, because
yeah.
as you were telling me the story, I was like,
popular, yeah.
Who was in the English version?
I think it was Joanne Froggatt and Gwyn, I can't say his Welsh, he's got a Welsh name. One,
yeah.
Ewan Griffith or something.
And Owen Griffith.
The guy
Griffith.
Who played Hornblower. He was in it, but was it him? I think so. But it goes a different
direction.
Way.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay,
so it's not the same.
It's not exactly the same, but it's definitely the same conceit.
It's the same conceit, right.
Not fun. I mean, that's not fun, but a good
that
series.
Sounds, that sounds great.
Yeah,
and
really
and it's on Netflix as well.
It's on Netflix as well.
Yeah. Okay, great. All right, brilliant. That sounds really good, Maureen. We'll definitely check that out. I will tell my brother Esteban.
Esteban will like it.
I think he'll like it. He might already have seen it, but if he hasn't, I'll suggest it to
How
him.
How do you say lies again in Spanish? How do
Mentiras.
You say
Mentiras.
Mentiras.
Mentiras. I won't be surprised to hear. I've still not watched any television. But next week, you wait. I shall be televisualed up. Just, but I'm going to recommend like a little short series that's on the Slow Newscast, which is Tortoise Media's. I suppose it's not just current affairs, but it's sort of it tracks stories happening internationally around the world, and it does sort of deep dives into them. So it's not like current affairs, like day to day current affairs that are happening, but it's sort of they take a sort of slow approach to the news, which is why it's called the Slow Newscast. So rather than delving into the headlines, they'll take a story and then they'll go deep into that story and they'll cover it. And sometimes they'll only cover it for one episode, for an hour, and sometimes they'll cover it over several episodes. And this particular series within the Slow Newscast, I think, is definitely worth a listen to. The episodes are not very long. They're between like 30 and 40 minutes. And this is a podcast. The Slow Newscast is a podcast, by the way. And Epstein's Money Men is the series I'm referring to. It started on the 13th of June, and I think there is... It's only four episodes, okay? And it looks into the people in the background that we don't know, like the banks, the big businessmen, the billionaires who made it possible for Epstein to do the things that he did, okay? Which we all know he was a serial predator who predated on young children and women. For many, many years, and even after he had been convicted as a paedophile, he was still able to keep these connections, whether they be with JP Morgan, whether they be with these big bankers or whoever. And it's just very interesting to hear how, yes, Jeffrey Epstein was convicted. Yes, he did commit suicide, and so victims never got the justice that they really wanted. But these people in the background, and I think JP Morgan have just recently had to pay out millions. I mean, like something like nearly $300 million dollars to the victims of Jeffrey Epstein, because if you trace the money back, it shows how JP Morgan knew that this sort of money that was constantly being taken out of his account or moved from one shell company to another shell company could only have been done because there was sex trafficking involved. Anyway, the point is, it goes from companies as big as JP Morgan to a billionaire to even all the way to Bill Gates, who is also managed to make Jeffrey Epstein's, like whitewash Jeffrey Epstein's, what's it called? Oh my God, I'm so terrible. I'm just like this, I've got no words. Reputation is what I wanted to say. So, and it's really interesting. Because what they say in the podcast is the convictions shouldn't end just with Jeffrey Epstein. Why aren't these companies, why aren't these individuals being prosecuted for facilitating a person that they knew? And also, you know, some people definitely were also involved as well and taking advantage of these young girls as well. And it's just a very interesting and very quick series. You can zip through it in an afternoon if you're doing some cleaning. Like I said, there's only four episodes and they're not very long, but I found it fascinating and I was like, oh my God, of course it does. Of course these people don't exist on their own. They're not islands, you know, that just where no one is aware of what's happening. There are so many people who are connected. Not just royalty, Prince Andrew, and then you've got Ghislaine Maxwell, but you've got these big banks and you've got other billionaires, and it's just, oh God, gross but fascinating, and I can highly recommend it. Alison, tell me about your horror film.
Okay, my horror film, which I think goes exceptionally well with this problem, is a horror film called Old People. Now, it's not that old. It came out, I think, in the last few years. Here's the storyline. A woman travels home with her two kids for her sister's wedding, but finds herself defending her family against blood-seeking pensioners, Basically, what happens is some sort of virus hits these pensioners, yes, during a storm, and they turn into ravenous killers. And it is amazing watching old people be the killers. It's pretty great. Old people. Real interesting.
Maureen,
game.
You might like it. And I'll tell you why. It's a German film.
Is it a German film?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's dubbed into English, but you can watch it in German.
Okay,
it is originally a German film. The director is Andy Fetcher. I'm not going to lie to you. It doesn't get great reviews.
But that's normal.
One of my recommendations doesn't get great reviews.
2.4 Letterboxd and 5.1 on IMDb. But 63% of people on Google said they enjoyed the film. It's available on Netflix, Maureen, a German horror film. If you're ever going to tap into a horror film, I think this is the one for you.
Yeah, probably.
Don't you think, Alison?
Yeah.
How gory is it, Alison? Because we know Maureen can't handle blood.
Yeah. I don't feel it was that gory. It's more of like a lot of like moments.
It's rated PG-13.
Yeah, Maureen. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that
not
should
a
be
lot
all right.
Of,
yeah,
so I'm going to suggest that you could manage it if it's parental guidance. Maybe bring your dad with you.
He'd just think it was rubbish. Thrush! Thrush!
I know, but the most important thing is that you've got a parental guidance with you while you're watching it, Maureen.
Yeah.
Alison, that sounds absolutely dreadful. I think that's definitely one of the horror films. I've actually been very much in tune with your horror movies and I've been thinking, yes, yes, yes. But on this particular occasion, it's a hard no. But
it's a hard no.
But I do think Maureen should catch up with that because she loves all things German and she would be missing out. You'd be missing out, Maureen. You've watched all of German cinema. You have to include horror. You can't exclude a genre.
You've got to include the shitty horrors. Yeah.
Okay, but fine.
That's a classic, though. You need to go non-classic
Nosferatu
German.
Nosferatu couldn't be... isn't scary in the slightest, unless you're 7 years old. Alison, thank you very much for your horror recommendation and a German one at that. I think that's our first... No, it's not our first foreign horror film, is it? But that's certainly our first German horror film.
Mm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
We've not...
It's out there, everyone. It's out there. But
find it on Netflix or wherever you live. You can just Google it, for heaven's sake. Don't ask us. Right, we're going back to Maureen Younger. Her corner, what is up with it? Something wrong with it or something right with it? It's been cultured and everybody in the biology department is intrigued. Of course, it's the corner time that is often cultural, but sometimes just batshit.
Yes, thank you for that wonderful...
That threw her. She didn't even know what to do after that.
And untrimmed, as I said before. Right, so Gustav Klimt, and I'm going to do Austrian painters. I did painters last week. I did Austrian painters. I haven't done Austrian painters. The two probably most famous, Gustav Klimt and Egon Schiele, if you don't know them. And Gustav Klimt is strongly associated with the flowering of the arts in Austria at the turn of the last century. So it was like the arts were just blossoming everywhere in Vienna. And he's got a very distinctive style. He was controversial. He had numerous affairs. It was said he used to paint with just a smock on and nothing underneath. He fathered at least 14 children. He was busy. And in fact, The Kiss is his most famous painting. In fact, it's over there if I could actually. Well, it's not a visual medium, so it doesn't really matter. I've got a copy of The Kiss over there. And at the time, that was controversial.
Good
because
to know.
It was not the real one, because if it had the real one, I wouldn't be doing this. I'd be in my mansion somewhere. But it was considered very controversial because it was very intimate, two people kissing. And he first got controversial when he completed, around 1900, the ceilings of the Great Hall of the University of Vienna, which they were considered pornographic. And he became a founding member of the Wiener Sektion. And you can actually visit the building. It's got I don't know if we did that when we were in Vienna. It's got a lovely gold dome. It's really well known.
I think we wanted to, but I don't think
we never got round to it. And it was the goals of the group, I suppose, like the Pre-Raphaelites, they wanted to do unconventional. They were unconventional young artists and they wanted to bring the works of the best foreign artists to Austria and to showcase the works of its members. And he became very famous. He actually became well known doing the interior murals and ceilings in large public buildings on the Ringstrasse, which is the main kind of circle road in central Vienna where all the big buildings are. And I think also particularly in the Burgtheater, which is the Royal Court, the Court Theatre. And then what he's really famous for is the golden phase, and you'll recognise his painting straight away, where he uses a gold leaf, like as in The Kiss. And he was just incredibly famous, very popular, did a lot of portraits. And he kind of, if you go to Austria now, there's Klimt, you see Klimt bags, Klimt, you know, serviettes, everything is Klimt chocolates probably. And the other one, another famous artist from that period, and we actually went to see his works, me and Jen, was Egon Schiele.
I love Egon Schiele.
Yeah, it's really, his work is kind of known for its intensity and raw sexuality. He did a lot of self-portraits, nude self-portraits, often very twisted
very,
shapes.
Very sort of graphic nude self-portraits.
Yeah, very graphic. And he was actually mentored at first by Klimt, who saw his... Klimt was actually very generous and mentored a lot of artists, and he obviously recognised Schiele's talent. And then he ended up... He did a lot of pet drawings and paintings of naked young girls. And this did not go down well in Austrian society. And obviously he was painting a lot of young girls. And he was arrested. He was arrested in 1912 for seducing a young girl of 13. I've watched a film about this, and what they seem to be saying is that was made up because they just didn't like the way he was living. He was living with his girlfriend. It was considered a bit too bohemian, so they were just trying to get at him. And that actually wasn't... He didn't actually do that. I don't know the rights or wrongs. That was just based on a film that I saw. But the judge actually burnt one of his paintings. But he was... It's very expressive of what was going on, I think, just before the war. I actually met his nephew who asked me to marry him. And he was a very old man by that point. But he did tell me the story of... There's a famous painting of his mother, and she's wearing this hat. And she looks really pissed off. And people have said, you know, this is just her... This is like Schiele expressing, you know, the breakdown of the Hungarian Empire, Austrian-Hungarian Empire, and the beginnings of the First World War. And he said it wasn't that. It was like he was painting my mum on a Saturday and she wanted to get to the shops. She was just pissed off.
I mean, that sounds more... more like it, yeah.
But his paintings are really... I mean, they're striking. They're really, really striking. And he died at 28 years old from the Spanish flu, 3 days after his pregnant wife died. The Spanish flu killed... Millions of people,
didn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Do you know why it's called the Spanish flu?
I think you've told me this, but I've forgotten.
No, every other country denied it, and the Spanish were the only ones that admitted that it was going on. Huh. So it got known as the Spanish flu.
I didn't know that. Why would they... It's quite hard to deny millions of people dying.
Well, I suppose they
it?
Just... I don't know, that's...
Then they don't have to take accountability. Might we just remind ourselves what just happened through a pandemic? Why wouldn't anyone?
They didn't want to panic people, but the Spanish were kind of apparently upfront about it, and then that's why I got caught.
I think millions of people dying would be the thing that panicked me.
Schiele's drawings are really, and paintings are stunning, and they're very graphic, and they're unique, and I really like his paintings. I do like Klimt as well. They're both artists to check out. If you want to check them out, well, you could go to the Ludwig Museum, Dr. Ludwig Museum in Vienna. And also, I have to say, there's a brilliant Austrian museum in New York called Die Galleria, which is fantastic. It's one of the best Austrian art museums there is. It's got the very famous painter by Klimt that got taken back, that this woman won it. It was stolen from her Jewish family during the Holocaust, just before World War II. And they took the Austrian court, the Austrians to court, and the Austrians fought it, and they lost. And it went over to New York, and that's there. And you have this weird, I had this weird thing. They've got an Austrian cafe there where I was drinking coffee, reading an Austrian newspaper, Kronen Zeitung, overlooking, I think, Central Park. So it's really weird. But it's a great, great museum in New York.
Brilliant. Thank you, Maureen. I think we went to an exhibition at the Royal Academy.
Oh, yes, we did, with Schiele.
Was it just Schiele? I felt like it was sketches of Schiele and Klimt.
Oh, you might be right. It might have been Schiele.
It was only sketches. It wasn't their paintings. It was early sketches and charcoal drawings and portraits and things. And it was brilliant. It was fascinating to go with Maureen. Absolutely fascinating to watch her work. I don't know if when you go to a gallery and it's a group of people and they're all looking at a painting and you think, oh, I'll just wait for them to move and then I'll approach and just watch Maureen barge her way to the front and stand in front of everybody looking at the paintings, right in front of them, blocking their view. Nobody said a thing. Just standing behind her, muttering, I cannot believe this woman. You know, they were French. Just in case you're wondering what accent that was, I cannot believe this woman. And I was like, wow, that is quite something.
Yeah, I didn't realise that until Jen pointed that out to me.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know how you didn't realise, because you had to barge through quite a lot of people to get there. So I
Jen said that was really entertaining watching me do that.
Yeah, I mean, I never actually got to see the painting because Maureen was in the way. But, anyway, Maureen, thank you very much for your cultural corner.
Well, I mean, we're at that point. We've been cultured. We've talked about bushes, trimmed, untrimmed. We've discussed what's going on in our lives. But now we want to get into the grumpy stuff. We want to know what the hell is pissing people off. Jen, what the hell's getting your goat this week?
Don't judge me. Now, you're going to be judging me now, but bloody well wait, okay? This is terrible, isn't it? That's what's got my goat. And do you know who I blame? Society. I tell you what's getting my goat. I had a conversation with Chloe, and we were talking about the holiday. And I'm very, very tired, as you know. I'm just tired all of the time. And not least, I'm still recovering from Glastonbury. That's I'm at that age where it takes me ages to recover from having fun. And we are going away to France. And what we're doing is we're staying in a caravan. Okay? All right? Not only are we staying in a caravan, we're getting a boat over to Dieppe. OK, and then it is, and I'll be doing all of the driving because Chloe doesn't like to drive on the opposite side of the road. It's an 8.5-hour drive to the campsite, OK, which, by the way, I will be doing, to go to Brittany. I've been to Brittany. It's beautiful, but the weather is very much like it is here. You don't know what you're going to get. And it's the Atlantic Ocean, so it's absolutely freezing. So we're sitting down in the garden and Chloe says, I'm looking forward to France. I hope it's hot. I said, well, might not be. It might not be because it's Brittany. So it'll be whatever the weather is in England, it'll be in Brittany. She was like, what? I said, it's not going to be a hot summer holiday. It will be a holiday, but it won't be hot. She went, well, the water better be warm. And I went, I said, Chloe, it's the Atlantic Ocean. It's going to be freezing. She went, well, if it's cold, I'm going to be livid. I said, well, it doesn't matter if you're livid. I'm telling you now. Prepare yourself. It is the Atlantic Ocean and it will be freezing. And she was like, well, what? Why are we even going? I went, are you taking the piss out of me? I said, why are we going? I said, we're going because you wanted to go and you were cross with me that we didn't get to go last year because we went to Croatia. And now we're going to, I realise, by the way, a lot of people can't afford holidays. And this is also, I'm very acutely aware that holidays are an enormous privilege. Don't get me wrong, but just bear with me with this goat, okay? Now, I have been working literally nonstop since the dawn of time, okay? And I'm very, very tired. And I wanted to just go away on a package holiday. You know, I don't care where, Spain, Greece, I don't care, whatever. Just sit by the beach, watch the kids muck about, have a little read, just chill. But Chloe wanted to go on this camping fucking extravaganza, so we're going, okay? And now we're in the garden and she's saying, I can't even believe this. The weather's not going to be nice. The water's not going to be warm. Why are we even going? I was like, we're going because... I said, do you think I, after travelling for the last 14 months non-stop, would have chosen to drive 9 fucking hours to a campsite where we're staying in a bloody caravan off the coast of the fucking Atlantic Ocean? Do you think that was my choice of holiday? I said, we chose a holiday because you wanted to go. You decided it. You chose it. And that's why we're going. And now she's saying, well, actually, I said, I would have wanted... I said to her, I actually wanted to go to Greece. I said, we could have got a cheaper holiday. It would have been actually cheaper to go to Greece. She went, oh, I would have liked to go to Greece. I went, are you having a bloody giraffe? You would have been happy to go to Greece. I said, why are we going to Brittany? Why? Why are we sleeping in like a fucking 2x4 single bed in a caravan off the coast of... driving when we... Oh, my God. I just can't believe it, Alison. I was just like... I said, next year, okay, we're going somewhere where we know it's going to be warm. We know I can rest and chill out and we're going somewhere. I'm choosing it. That's it. Can you believe this? She was like, I'm not sure I even know when I'll do this now. I was like, well, I don't want to bloody do it because I never chose use it. So if you're not going to enjoy it, I don't even know where we're going. Anyway, it's too late. We paid for it.
Can you not get your money back? Sorry.
No.
No,
you can't. You absolutely can't get your money back. No.
Oh, my God. So I can't even.
And also the ferry. You think, the ferry would be cheap. Not if you're taking a car. The ferry is very expensive. Anyway, our carbon footprint is down, and that's something. That's something to, isn't it?
Except for the 9 hours of driving. This sounds like shit. I'm not going to lie, Jen.
Let's hope
can
it's
I
nice
plan your
caravan.
Holidays from now on? Let me. Yeah, it better be a fucking nice caravan. It better
be. I'll send you photos, and then you can tell me what you think. I mean, I already know what you're going to say. I can see Maureen's laughing her head off. She loves it. Honestly, the only thing going for this caravan is that it's got a balcony. It hasn't got a patio. It's a caravan. It's got a sort of
garden.
Porch. No, it's not even got a garden, Maureen. It's got like a decking, like a little porch decking thing where you can sit outside.
So you can have your coffee on
and
a
deck. And I take it hasn't got an indoor toilet. You've got to use...
No, it has got an indoor toilet. Oh, my God, no, it's got an indoor toilet.
Okay.
And probably a shower as well. It's one of those tiny little...
It's not glamorous, but it has got a toilet.
Okay, that's something.
No, you're right. It's something, yeah.
It's the sort of camping you and I would do, Maureen, if we were forced into something.
But you'd do it overnight.
Yeah, we wouldn't do it for...
Maybe 2 days.
We wouldn't pay a fortune to do it. Has the camping thing... Because campsites in France are usually very good. Might have a little swimming pool anyway.
Oh, it does. Look. The kids are going to have the kids. We're doing it for the children, and the children are going to have a lovely time. It's got a swimming pool. We are walking distance from, I think, one of the beaches.
A freezing cold beach.
And look, we're in France, and the food and the wine are going to be extraordinary. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And don't think for a second I don't love France. I do, but I would have chosen probably to go somewhere a bit further south, and maybe go somewhere where there might be a little bit of extra sunshine.
Greece. Can't go wrong.
Further south in France, but sure. Even further south, Greece. Yeah. Anyway, I'm aware that go for a lot of people is like, go fuck yourself, bitch. You're going on holiday. Why are you even fucking moaning? So, look, I'll take that, and you're allowed to definitely throw that at me, and I accept it, and you are correct. But that conversation that I had with Chloe, where I was like, I'm only doing this because you said you were so angry with me that you didn't get to go do it last year. Now we're doing it. And now you're like, I don't even want to do it.
I remember you arguing about where to go in France when I was there because you wanted to go somewhere else and she didn't want to go there.
Chloe wanted to go further south, actually.
Oh,
but
did she?
Because I was driving, it would have been a 12-hour drive.
Oh, no.
And then we'd have to cut it up into like 2 or 3 days. So I said, I don't want our 2-week holidays, 4 days of me driving.
No. It's not a holiday then, is it?
So that's why I said, let's go a little bit closer, which was like an 8-hour drive or just under 8 hours. Anyway, look, as I'm saying this out loud, I realise what a prick I'm being. But
no,
it's just the whole thing. It's like, this is my only holiday in the year. This is my only break. And because when I get back and 2 days later, I go back on tour again. If I could have chosen a holiday, I would have chosen something different. And now I hear from my partner that so would she. And that's what's got my go. That's all I'm saying.
But what I like about your relationship is communication is key.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, Maureen, that's fair enough. Anyway, to be fair, in this particular instance, and I think you were there when I did it, I did communicate what I'd rather do. But as is with our relationship, no one ever listens to anything I'm saying.
What?
Case in point there, Alison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. You're not heard. I hear you, Jen. I hear you.
Oh, thank God someone is. Women Talking Bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Oh, you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats. Well, that did.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.